NetSuite brings you Golf Talk America from the Azalea House. NetSuite's the number one cloud financial system, is bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. That's NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. That's NetSuite by Oracle. And by Robody, the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off with Row. That's R-O. Additionally, Factor. We love Factor, too. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Now, here's Golf Talk America live from Azalea House at the Masters.
Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And welcome in, everybody, to a special edition of Golf Talk America. It is Tuesday in Augusta. We are live from Azalea House, and it's going to be a good week. It's been overcast and kind of cloudy today, but it's supposed to be pretty tomorrow. Then Thursday, well, we're not sure what's going to happen on Thursday. Probably a little bit of water, which will make a big change in what's going to go on out there. We had the opportunity to be in the media center and hear from Tiger Woods and others, John Rahm, for instance, and some other folks. And what we wanted to do is bring you those interviews in full interview and let you hear what the boys had to say today about everything in golf. All the questions were flying. John Rahm is an interesting interview. Really, you should listen to that one in its entirety if you can. But in any case, let's get into it. Let's hear from some of the players from the Media Center here at Augusta National Golf Club in Augusta, Georgia. And we'll be back at the end of this thing to wrap it up and put a little bow on it.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. We're pleased to be joined in the interview room by the last entrance into the 2024 Masters field, Akshay Bhatia. Akshay, welcome to Augusta National. A decade ago, you competed at Augusta National as a drive, chip, and putt finalist. And yesterday, you earned your way back with a dramatic win. Can you describe your last 24 hours?
I really can't. Just wire to wire is very hard to do. Having a six-shot lead with nine holes to go, you feel pretty good about yourself. I was playing really good all day, and Denny just kind of found this, fire in him. And when a guy shoots 28 on the back, makes, I think he had 7-1 putts on the back nine. It's pretty impressive. And just to be standing here, it's amazing. And, just having the opportunity, the members giving us the opportunity to play their golf course is certainly special. And I can't wait to be, on that first tee on Thursday.
Great. We'll open it up to questions. Jimmy.
Thanks, Tom. Akshay, do you remember the last time you were here?
Yeah, I came here with a member in 2019 or 2020 in November. It was the first time, I played the golf course, and just unreal moment for me. Just being on the presence of this place is spectacular, and I'm excited to be here as a participant this year, and it's great.
Can I just follow with one thing real quickly? Were you one of those kids who, when you were in the drive, chip, and putt, you're standing over a shot saying, "This is for the Masters"?
In the drive, chip, and putt, not necessarily, but growing up as a kid, I think everyone kind of says that to themselves. And just to have that opportunity, that first time at the drive, chip, and putt is pretty surreal. As a kid, you just don't realize how lucky we are to have that opportunity. And for everyone to be so gracious to let some kids, hit some golf balls on the range, hit some putts on the 18th green, it was unreal. And I remember making that putt, wearing those baggy pants, and thankfully my style's gotten a little better. So,
great. Daniel.
I read that you're working with Julie Elon. Is that correct?
I'm working with her other half, Brian. So they're affiliated.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering what you guys have been working on, and how are you able to tap into that yesterday and really, really the whole week? Because as you mentioned, you know, sleeping with the lead three times in a row can't be easy.
Yeah, you know, we started working together start of Players Week, and you know, there was so much that I had going on in my life, not just in golf, but more so my life. And you know, we tackled a lot of things, a lot of long conversations throughout these last couple of weeks. And you know, I've really tried to work on myself just off the golf course. You know, dealing with a lot of different things. And yeah, we just had, you know, different goals every day. And I remember texting him Tuesday, like, he said, "How are you feeling?" I said, "I don't feel that great." You know, going to Valero, I was hitting it terrible. And, you know, I finished 11th the week before. But, you know, just learning a lot from the Houston Open. There were six shots that I feel like if I would have backed off of, I probably would have had a better chance of winning the golf tournament. And, you know, we tackled that. And, yeah, everything kind of came to fruition. And it wasn't easy for sure. I felt like I couldn't breathe the whole day, the last couple of days. And, but it was also a weird sense of calmness, so I don't really know how to describe that.
Great. Krishna Swami.
Akshay, you know, do you realize what kind of an impact you and Sahith are having back in India? There are no Indians. There are no Indians in this field this year, but there are two Indian Americans, yourself and Sahith. Do you realize the kind of impact you are back having back home on Indian golf? In the last 24 hours, I've written three stories in two different airport lounges about you, trying to, you know, fixing time in between the transfers. So do you realize what impact you're having back in your home of origin?
I don't know if I quite realize, you know, what Sahith and I can do for the golf in India. I know it's really special when I have, you know, a bunch of fans looking up to me, a bunch of kids coming up to me, and, you know, I almost had the opportunity to go a couple years ago before COVID happened, which would have been really special. 2019. And I'm really hoping I can do that soon. But I think it's awesome just being able to grow the game, just not in the States, but, you know, in India. I think it's special to us, the words and kind of like what we can do for golf there is, I think, awesome. And the development we can, you know, we can accomplish for people over there is really cool.
Anne.
Congratulations again. Can you talk about your shoulder? How does it feel? And is this an injury that you've had or did it just happen?
Yeah, the shoulder is, you know, it's going to be a work in progress for sure. I've had it happen, you know, 2-3 times. I had a full dislocation playing pickleball a couple of years ago. And, you know, I had it, you know, kind of subluxed in Bermuda a couple 2021, and I played through that week. I think I finished 15th or 16th, so it's nothing new to me. It was a weird experience because I had so much adrenaline, so I had no pain kind of in that playoff, but it's definitely you know, something we're going to have to work towards, and you know, I have a lot of trust in my team that we can, you know, tee it up on Thursday.
Johnson.
Akshay, you won the Barracuda Championship back in August of last year, and it was a bit of a disappointment to you not to get the FedEx Cup points because you weren't technically a member. You were a special temporary member of the PGA Tour. In your work with Ryan Davis, was he able to help you get over the disappointment that I know you carried for a while?
You know, we didn't get into too much detail about that stuff. I still think winning out here is a big thing. And regardless of how that outcome happens, you know, I think it fueled the fire in me for sure. And having, you know, not being in the signature events this year, not having the opportunity, it was really hard because, you know, I'm working my butt off. This is my 7th week in a row. But now winning this event last week, being in all the signatures and playing golf courses that I really, truly love is something that I'm really excited for, and you know, just even being here first off is unreal.
Sam.
Akshay, can you tell us, take us back a decade and tell us some of the stories you remember from coming here the first time and the enduring memories?
Yeah, I remember they were hosting us in a hotel, all the participants, and you know, I was in the elevator, John Daly walks in, and I'm like, this guy's got a Diet Coke hood on, and I realized it was John Daly, so it's really cool to kind of see him in the flesh for once, and Yeah, just driving up Magnolia Lane, you know, with all the kids. Met a lot of, you know, new friends. I remember we were in the hotel, and we got one of the Masters Cups, you know, from the tournament. And this, we had a couple of us, but we all grabbed our putters and just were putting on the carpet in the hotel and just having a bunch of fun, really. And then I remember coming out, you know, watching the practice rounds on Tuesday or when, Tuesday. And, you know, we were sitting on hole 4 on the grandstand, and it was just so surreal. I remember how bad I wanted to be out there and not just watch. And, you know, now being here and being the first, you know, drive, chip and putt participant in the Masters is really cool. So I'm hoping, you know, this can inspire a lot of kids that are, you know, having the opportunity to play.
Bob.
You tell us just the logistics from last night to today. Did somebody have to get housing lined up? Did you come last night? Did you wait till this morning? When did you get here? All that.
Yeah. You know, my agent's done a great job. You know, he's he's had a lot of belief in me since I was a kid, since I turned pro, and, you know, had the house lined up. And then one of my sponsors, One Flight, he flew his plane out for us, waited for us, watched me finish the tournament off, and he got us here safe and sound. It was a pretty cool experience for me. And, you know, we just got here. The car was ready. So we got here last night and just kind of got in pretty late and had a good morning.
But when did you get out here this morning, and what did you do today?
Yeah, I slept in as much as I could. I didn't get much sleep. You know, still a lot of adrenaline. And then I got here about 30, 40 minutes ago, so around 2 o'clock. And just kind of got the lay of the land of Augusta. You know, I haven't been here in a couple years, and I truly haven't seen, you know, it as a tournament. So it's pretty cool. There's a lot going on for sure. And, you know, I'm still learning a bunch.
Joy.
Akshay, because of your Indian origin, I'm going to ask you this. Have you ever done Bhangra, the, you know, the exaggerated hand and shoulder movement dance?
I have not, no.
Don't do it.
I might hurt my shoulder doing that.
But I wanted to ask you, Akshay, we all know about, I mean, the Indian parents and the parenting that we have gone through. And you have also gone through the same thing. What kind of values have you got from that has helped you become probably a better golfer?
Yeah, I think, you know, my parents are always very supportive. And I feel like in our culture, you know, everyone's family. So, you know, regardless of how you're doing, everyone either comes up with you or, you know, if you're going down, everyone still stays up. So I've learned a lot from my parents, even my family, you know, all is supportive. And, you know, it makes me feel like more of a person and not just a golfer. So I truly take that to heart. And yeah, it's kind of what I've learned.
For example,
Jeffrey.
Have you had a moment to kind of stop for a minute and think of just what this moment will be like and what your goals are this week?
Not yet. You know, there's still a lot to learn this week, just registering, kind of, like I said, getting the lay of the land. And, you know, I'm going to talk to Ryan, my psychologist, this afternoon. He's flying into tonight, and, you know, we'll have a good game plan, some goals, and kind of get the ball rolling tomorrow.
When you did get on this golf course a couple of years ago, you say with a member, what was it like to be out there, and what kind of feelings did that bring to you?
I mean, it's always special here. I think just the aura of the place has, you know, just it's unreal. And I think too that, you know, we were one of probably 4 or 5 groups out here, so you kind of have the whole place to yourself. And just the golf course is unreal. You just know all the golf shots that have been hit on certain holes, and just kind of picturing that in your head is pretty cool. And in real life, it's definitely life changing.
David, or
what Bob asked, but what time did you get here last night?
We got here around 1:30 in the morning.
Sean,
curious what you think your practice schedule today through Wednesday will be, and who you have
practice rounds lined up with, and do you think the shoulder will impact your preparations at all?
Today, I'm just taking it easy. I'm going to get some physio work, just make sure my body's good and rested. Like I said, this is 7 weeks in a row for me, so it's a lot of golf, but I also have a ton of adrenaline, so it kind of balances out. As far as tomorrow, not really sure what I'm going to do, and then I know for sure Wednesday I'll play the par three contest, and but yeah, just going to kind of sit down with the team and figure out, you know, what the best game plan is, and you know, I'm hoping, you know, my shoulder should be good, but I might be a little scared to hit some shots, and we just got to find out tomorrow.
Mary-Kate.
Kind of going off of those, what have you learned about the power of rest being on this crazy stretch of golf and maybe balancing your time both on and off the course?
Yeah, rest is very important. You know, just not spending too much time on the golf course. You know, it's a hard balance because you feel like you have to get so much done, but at the same time, you really don't. I remember, you know, winning Barracuda, I only played 9 holes and ended up winning the golf tournament. And so there's always a fine balance, but I feel like, you know, when I have Presley, my fiance, around, we just kind of take a seat back and go do some normal things and not just focus on the golf. So, you know, it's a little different for a major week, and this is obviously a very important week to many of us. And but, you know, I talked to John Rahm, you know, last night, and he was just kind of saying that you treat it like a normal event, and so that's what I'm going to do.
Question. Akshay, the ultimate acid test for your adoption of the broomstick putter must be that last putt on the regulation yesterday. Can you talk a little bit about your adoption of that in that particular situation?
Yeah, you know, I've built a really nice team around me, people that I trust, and you know, we went through kind of the stats last year of what I can improve on. My ball striking was always really good, and you know, putting always kind of lacked. And when you want to contend in tournaments, you gotta, you know, make some putts when they count. And so I just felt like the style I was using previous was, you know, it was good, but it just wasn't as consistent. And so we took a chance on switching the broomstick, and I talked to a couple players about it, and they gave me some good advice, just kind of what to work on. And you know, I made a promise to myself that, you know, I'm going to take at least 6 months to try this putter out regardless of how it goes. And you know, so far my stats have kind of skyrocketed, so it's a nice improvement, especially from kind of the 10 to 15 feet range. And you know, I feel like regardless of what putter you have, in that moment, I feel like I was going to make that putt, so it doesn't really affect me, I guess.
Question.
Akshay, how much of a challenge is it to kind of switch caddies and go through caddies kind of mid-season? And I guess the second part of that is, what allowed you and Ryan to work so well in the first week together last week?
Yeah, it's definitely different. You know, I had you know, my caddy for 7-8 months. He was awesome. We had a great relationship. And, you know, I just finding someone last minute, you don't know how you're going to mesh. They don't know your golf game. And so, you know, I had David Cook, Webb Simpson's caddy in Houston, and he was awesome, super positive. And, I had a lot of fun with him, and Ryan and I have had, you know, a pretty good relationship. He was caddying for Justin Self for a long time, and Justin and I came up at the same time. And so we spent a lot of time together, especially on the Korn Ferry Tour. And, yeah, for whatever reason, you know, he's really smart. Obviously he coached at Stanford, and, he works really hard, and he has a good idea of and sense of how I was feeling, you know, throughout the day, and also kind of the goals that I had in front of me. And so he just kept reminding me of that. And, yeah, just all worked out. It's pretty crazy. It's kind of a fairy tale story.
Maybe just a few more questions. Dan.
In addition to the drive, chip, and putt, when you were younger, you also played in the Sage Valley Junior Invitational and did really well there. How much of an impact do you think playing in those two events when you were younger had on you now and your ability to get back here, knowing how special an opportunity is to be able to play here in Augusta this time of the year?
Yeah, I think, you know, Junior Invitational is a very special tournament to us. We get the, you know, we get to stay on property. We get to hang out with, you know, with all the participants there. The golf course was spectacular, and I think it's one of the probably the highest ranked tournament that we ever play. It feels like our Masters as kids. And, you know, that golf tournament was great. I played the year I won. I played against Ludvig, who finished second. And, you know, we're both here today. So I think it just shows an impact on, you know, how much that tournament generates great players. And like I said, being here as a kid is kind of a fairy tale. Just having the opportunity, qualifying, and you earn your spot getting here, just how I did today. And so it's a cool thing that, you know, everyone at Augusta National does for us and for years to come.
Anand.
Akshay, if you can describe for us the transformation of your game from your college days to a pro, both in terms of skills and personality, and aligned with that, what kind of friendships you made on tour after turning pro, and how they've helped you sort of be where you are today?
So I didn't go to college. But I guess, you know, growing up, I had some mentors out here pretty early on. Phil Mickelson was one of them. And, you know, he was a big brother to me. He would play, you know, as many practice rounds as we could when I got sponsor exemptions on the PGA Tour. And, you know, I'm still trying to find my footing with some friendships out here. It's definitely a little different because it's a lot more business oriented, especially when you tee it up. But I have a couple good friends out here, and, you know, I'm looking to kind of build my team and kind of stick to who I have and who I trust.
Great. Last question, Brian.
Yeah, Akshay, how do you balance the obvious excitement and playing in your first Masters and the awe of being here with just getting down to business and being able to put on your best performance?
Yeah, I think, you know, soaking in what just happened is important. You know, you don't get to kind of have those opportunities too much. I've waited 7-8 months to kind of get, you know, those feelings of singing in the car on the way to the airport and just kind of bouncing up and down on the plane ride. But, you know, today I'm still going to soak it in. Tomorrow is kind of, okay, what's our goals for the week? And, you know, just get ready to tee it up. So it's another golf tournament. It's a very special tournament. But at the end of the day, you know, one of us is going to win. So that's kind of my goal. And, yeah, I'm excited to tee it up.
Well, Akshay, thank you for your time today. Welcome to Augusta National and the Masters.
Thank you.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. That's key, keep the money. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce cost and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. And I have to tell you, in all honesty, in all of my years in business in my past life before broadcasting, we used multiple systems. We didn't have one system for financial, one for, you know, the accounting, one for management of inventory, HR. Nothing talked to each other. It was a headache. I wish I had had this product when I was running a business as a CEO. So let's talk about it a little bit. NetSuite's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. Hallelujah. Accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes. Did I say processes? Processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies, folks, have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Okay? The product is absolutely incredible. It's, as I said earlier, I wish we had had NetSuite in my businesses in my years as a CEO. So here's what I want you to do. And I want you to do this right now. Now through April 15th, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/golftalk. That's netsuite.com/golftalk. netsuite.com/golftalk.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Very pleased to welcome the 2023 Masters champion, John Rahm. John, welcome back to Augusta National. The last time you were in this room, you were wearing a green jacket for the first time. Could you maybe reflect on the experience of winning the tournament and maybe when it all sunk in?
It's so hard to put that experience into words. I had heard from a few other players, a few Masters champions, and a few that have won other majors rather than the Masters, that they said there's something different, something special when you win one. And I can confirm it's absolutely true. That the jump from, you know, from non-majors to U.S. Open was smaller from than what it was from the U.S. Open to the Masters. You know, it is the biggest tournament in the world, with no offense to anything else, but it's probably the most followed one by people that don't even play golf. And that's, I think, what makes the difference, right? Your notoriety goes up quite a bit. But it's also the tradition, right? I guess by being the only venue, we keep coming back year after year. All the traditions, all the shots, all the stories make it so, so special. And in my case, last year being Sergio's birthday, Easter, and all the many coincidences that happened to happen on that Sunday is what made it so special. I think the one memory that I keep remembering, you know, obviously all the family moments at the end were great, but I still have a picture where I'm holding my son and I'm giving a hug to my dad, and, you know, my son's in between us, and just to see that moment of me and my dad and having my son there was quite special. And that's why I say it's hard to put it into words, because I really can't describe it.
That's great. Thanks. We'll open the interview session with questions in English, and the second portion we'll reserve for Spanish. So questions, please. Yes.
Hi, John. Thank you so much. As a champion of last year, I believe you have been wearing a green jacket on many occasions throughout the years. So my question is, what are your best memories wearing the green jacket outside of Augusta National? How's your feeling now as you need to return to the club?
Best memories. Well, you do hear a lot of things that people did, you know, to remember having the jacket. In my case, I mean, I kept it on my closet on a spot where I would walk by it every single day. And obviously, inevitably, every once in a while, you put it on and then take it off and put it back there. But the most memorable one for me has to be the first pitch. I just doing the first pitch in the World Series is quite unique. And sort of having to compete for the jacket is about as nervous as I've ever been related to that jacket, having to be in front of all those people trying to, you know, not make a fool of myself.
Daniel?
You made some comments to BBC about understanding the gravity of your decision to go to LIV Golf. When you did that, was part of that motivation to try to bring the game together, and did you expect there to be kind of more movement toward that by now?
I understood my position, yes. And I understood that it could be what I hoped, a step towards some kind of agreement, yes. Or more of an agreement or expedited agreement. But unfortunately, it's not up to me. So, but I would hope it would be something that would help expedite that process. But at the end of the day, I still did what I thought was best for myself.
Mark.
Hey, John. I'm wondering, if, as you look back on the period of time since you went over to LIV to now, how you would describe the experience, and what are the things that you maybe miss about not being around the tour anymore and around the guys and competing against the Schefflers and, you know, Rorys, etc.
You know, actually, it's a good question. I haven't given it that much thought because I've been so focused on what I have to do myself. I mean, there's no secret. I've mentioned a few times there's some venues that I miss not being at, not only because I won, but just because I love it, right? And that's the reason why I've played well in those tournaments. Not being at Palm Springs, Torrey, Phoenix, and LA wasn't the easiest. And I'll keep saying that because those are venues that I absolutely love. And driving by Phoenix as often as I had to, seeing the stands and knowing that I wasn't going to be there was quite hard, right? I still love the PGA Tour, and I still hope everything the best, and I still hope that at some point I can compete there again. You do miss competing against certain people, right? But at the end of the day, I've had so much to focus on. The dynamic a little bit has changed. Obviously, I'm a team leader, a team captain to an extent, because still golf, I can't really influence what they do on the golf course. And a lot of positive to look forward to, right? I've had a lot of fun playing in those events. The competition's still there. Yeah, there's smaller fields, but you still have to beat some of the best players in the world, and you still have to play at the same level you have to play on the PGA Tour to win those events. So that doesn't change. And it's been fun to be part of a team. It's one of the driving factors for me to make the change. It's fun to be a part of a family and part of a common goal as a team, right? And enjoying those team victories has been really, really fun. You know, usually on a Sunday like last week, I wouldn't have been thrilled by the way I finished. Not that I would have been sad or upset, but I wouldn't have been thrilled and, you know, had a team goal to actually celebrate. I mean, that is actually kind of fun. And something that I was jealous of from many other sports, right? When you win as an individual, right? Like take it here, for example, last year, you do all your commitments, you wake up the next day, and that's it. It's not like there's a shared emotion after that, like you see when a team maybe wins a Super Bowl or the NBA Finals or the World Series.
You mentioned team. Are you concerned about, even though it's a year plus away, about what the Ryder Cup situation would be for you, since that's so special?
Am I concerned? Yeah, I hope I can be there. I hope I play well enough to earn my way there, and if I have to be picked, I hope I can get picked. Yeah, I want to be there. That's definitely something I want to do and I don't want to miss.
Adam.
Hey, John. I know last year you said you were kind of concerned or you were interested in what the Champions Dinner would be like and that it might be a little tense. Do you have any of those same concerns for this year as you prepare to host?
Well, everybody I talked to seems very excited about the menu, which, if anything, is putting a lot more pressure on me, even though I'm not cooking, right? So yeah, I'm definitely a little nervous. It is quite daunting to think about the room you're going to be in and having to stand up and talk to that group of players, right? I mean, it's basically all the living legends on this game, active and non-active. Everybody who's been somebody in this game, right, is there. So as wonderful as it is to be a part of, it's still, yeah, a little nerve-wracking for sure.
And then if I can ask about Adam's status for this week, I know he didn't caddy for you on Sunday in Miami, but what's his status for you on the bag this week?
Well, he's here, and he had a little bit of a stomach bug. Apparently, takes a lot for him not to caddy, because I've heard multiple times, you know, I don't know if I can make it, but I don't know if today would be the day. And he's always been there, and he's always made through, even though he struggled. That Sunday was the first time he hasn't done it, and that's quite concerning for me, because the guy will battle through anything. He seemed better yesterday, though. He seemed quite a bit better, and hopefully a little bit better today and tomorrow. Right now I don't have a backup, so I hope I hope he can make it on Thursday.
Gary.
John, when Nicklaus repeated in 66, he hadn't won anywhere that year coming in. Faldo, same thing in 1990. Tiger in 02 had won at Bay Hill, but their schedules were virtually the same. Yours is very different. You played a lot less competitive rounds. So how have you augmented what you've done this year to offset the fact that you haven't played as much?
Well, you're saying like playing a little bit less is a bad thing, which I wouldn't think it is. If anything, if I had to go based on how I feel today on a Tuesday, I feel physically better than I did last year. But that once competition starts, that doesn't really matter, right? I mean, it's... once the gun goes off, whatever you feel is out the window, you got to go out there and post a score. So it wouldn't be the first time we hear somebody not feeling their best and winning. The first one that comes to mind is Ben Crenshaw after he lost his swing coach and to come back after being in the funeral and win it. So is not something that I have in mind, but I do feel fresh and ready for it.
Anand.
I want to ask you about the state of the golf and where we are today. Particularly, if you had a voice, what would you want the four majors to try and do to ensure that we have all the best players in the world playing? Because at the moment, the ranking system does not enable that.
I'm going to say what I've said. There's a lot of people a lot smarter than me that could figure this out in a much more efficient way. But the obvious answer is that there's got to be a way for certain players in whatever tour to be able to earn their way in. That's the only thing I can say. I don't know what that looks like, but there's got to be a fair way for everybody to compete.
If you had the voice, what would you advocate for and how?
Again, I don't know, because I don't know how they'll need to figure out a way to evaluate how the LIV players are doing, right, and how they can earn their way. And I understand there's less players, and you can't give, right, 10 people or 15 people a start, but there's got to be a way for some players to earn their way in. That's the best way I can say it. I just really don't know what that looks like.
Anne.
Hey, John, good to see you again. Can you talk about your legacy in the game and what that means to you?
Well, luckily, it's still quite early in my career to be thinking about legacy. So it's not really something I have in mind constantly. But I've said it many times. You know, one of the great things about Seve in Spain is how much he grew the game in Spain, right? When he started playing golf, there was, I think, 15,000 licensed golfers in Spain, and by the time he passed away, there was over 300,000, right? So however I can influence that to increase and have more playing opportunities in Spain and more people involved in the game, in this wonderful game we all love, I think that'll be a success in my mind, however that looks like.
You think it will change now that you left the PGA Tour, your legacy?
I mean, will it change? Yeah, it's a bit of a detour on my path, but change can be better.
Here, Joy.
John, I wanted to ask you about that in Miami on Sunday, the last birdie putt that you made. I've never seen you celebrate for a tight fifth place like you did on Sunday. Can you just explain to us what those emotions meant and the team component of it?
Well, I wasn't thrilled after playing the first hole the way I did, right? Hitting the best drive of the day and then half shanking the four iron into the water, making a bogey on a par five. That was definitely not on my mind. So going into two, that's where the team aspect of things as players come in and become so exciting. I'm playing the second hole with the same type of nerves as if I was almost playing for the tournament, right? We have a one or two shot lead at the time. I couldn't see the scoreboard, and I knew that at least I had the two putt, and it wasn't the easiest two putt. So to see that putt trickle and trickle and finally get to the hole was very reassuring. Obviously, I didn't know what was going on in the rest of the course and what they were doing, but I think that gave us a two-shot lead at the time till Kieran made his bogey on one. And in my mind, I thought it was done. Right, I was basically hoping we wouldn't have any mistakes at that time, and that's why I celebrated. I mean, yeah, it is a team win. It matters. And that's where I think this can be a positive in many ways, right? And as players, it's very fun to be playing for that as well.
John, I was wondering just this week how being the defending champion, doing the Champions Dinner tonight, how has that affected sort of your preparation? Has it made it more difficult, or do you just kind of see it same as every year?
It hasn't made preparation any more difficult. Well, the Champions Dinner, you just have to work around it, right? Just got to make sure I'm ready a certain time, which I almost made the mistake of not being on time, because I'm so used to not having anything to do on Tuesdays that I scheduled my practice run a little too late yesterday and had to start backtracking to a few people. So I'm hoping I can be there on time today. But besides that, no, I mean, you know, we always have things to do. In the past, on Tuesdays, I've had other sponsoring engagements as well. So it actually doesn't feel that different to that extent. Obviously, it's a much bigger deal to be part of that dinner. So, but now I don't feel like it makes a difference.
Just a couple more questions in English, Doug.
John, do you think you're looked at this week as the reigning Masters champion or as a LIV player?
Both.
What do you think would be the first? What's your best guess when people lay eyes on you?
From what I've experienced so far as a Masters champion, yeah.
Terry.
John, Brian Harmon was here yesterday and was talking about how important it was for his game to be tested against the pressure of a PGA Tour event. I know it's been a short sample in terms of your time on the LIV Tour, but do you feel the same level of pressure in spite of the team event in a LIV event? The level of intensity of feeling the pressure?
Yeah. That to me, that's an argument that if you haven't experienced being played in the tournament, you can't really understand. I understand it's less people. I understand the team format's a little different. I understand we're going shotgun and things are a little bit different to how they are in a PGA Tour event. But the pressure is there. Like, I want to win as bad as I wanted to win before I moved on to LIV. So, yeah, that going down the stretch when you're in contention is the exact same feelings. That really doesn't change. The same way it was when I went to the Spanish Open or many other events where the field might not be up to the level that it could be on a designated event, right? That doesn't really... Winning is winning, and that's what matters.
Mary-Kate.
Piggybacking on the green jacket question earlier, how does it feel knowing that the only way you get to take it back off property is if you win again?
I think if I were not to win this year, I'm probably not going to regret. I'm going to regret not wearing it more often and just taking it everywhere for whatever, just because you have it. But yeah, it is a weird feeling, right? Essentially, it's the only trophy you can't really keep at home. You do get a trophy, but the one that we all care about is the jacket. And I think it's something really special to know when you win that the only jacket that ever leaves Augusta National is that one. And I think that's the most special part of all. So it's a little bit, is it added motivation? No, because you still, I mean, winning is winning, right? But it would be it would be quite special to be one of the few players that have won it more than once and be able to have it at home for more than 1 year.
The question's in Spanish, please. Yes.
Hey, folks. What if you could take a weekly shot to lose weight? And, better yet, keep it off. You lose weight, it comes back. You lose weight again, it comes back again. The cycle is the cycle is the cycle. It sounds familiar, does it not? It does to me. You know, remember when everybody was doing the juice cleanses and basically hungry all the time? There's a better, more sustainable way to lose weight than $20 smoothies and, of course, daily ice baths. Uh-uh, not for me. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at something for me. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. The Row Body Program, that's R-O Body Program, pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose, get this, 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average. And you actually keep it off. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. Row Body Program members have support throughout the process. Important. The support is important. Row's partner handles all of the insurance paperwork to help get medication covered. Key. If eligible for medication, patients have access to their provider on demand for any questions. You can sign up online from the comfort of your own couch, your home. No doctor's appointment, no scheduling, no commute to the doctor's office, and more importantly than anything these days, no waiting rooms. So here's what I want you really to do, and let's do it now. Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year. Okay, remember that. With healthy lifestyle changes, of course. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/golftalk. Sign up today, and you'll pay just $99 for the first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's R-O-W.co. bvco.co/golftalk. Do it today.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is always a very special pleasure to welcome back to the Media Center our five-time Green Jacket winner, Mr. Tiger Woods. Tiger, thank you for being with us today. Thanks for spending a few minutes. It's been 5 years ago, hard to believe, that you won your fifth Green Jacket. You started Thursday, if you remember, that first round, outside the top 10.
Correct.
And went on to win in dramatic fashion. It is rare for a player outside the top 10 after Thursday to win. You did it in 2019. Well, in the last 20 years, it's still only been done one other time. And that was 2005, and that was you.
Right.
What a testament.
They're trying to tell me I need to start outside the top 10.
What a testament to your indomitable will over your career and your ability to make changes and adaptions to your practice, to your therapy, according to your body needs. Mm-hmm. And you executed that to perfection in 2019. In 2021, there was that horrific accident that did serious damage to your leg. Could you share with us what adaptions to your healing, your rehab, your practice, your preparations that you have done that put you in the best position to win your sixth Green Jacket?
Well, I have an amazing medical staff that has really helped me get through this. Kobe's really been there through thick and thin to help me get into this position, and it's a daily adaptation. We work at it each and every day, whether it's trying to loosen me up or strengthen me or it's just recovery. My practice sessions certainly aren't what they used to be. I used to, you know, live on the range or live on a short game facility and just be out there all day. That's no longer the case. And so I just have to be more focused on when I do get a chance to go out there and practice and really grind out and make every shot count, because I just really don't have the ball count in me anymore. So those adaptations have, you know, hopefully I've made them for this week. I've got a chance to go out there on Sunday, take a look at the front nine. I played yesterday with Will on the back nine and came out today and played the front nine again with JT and Fred. So this golf course is, when we came up here, when we came up here last weekend, it was in perfect shape and it's only gotten better, which is hard to believe, but it has. And hopefully we will you know, get the weather cooperate a little bit with us come Thursday.
Taylor, let's open the questions with Taylor. And if you would, please lean into the microphone to state your question. Taylor?
Tiger, given those physical challenges that you just described,
yes,
why is it so important for you to keep playing in this tournament?
Well, this tournament has meant so much to me in my life and my family. I think I've been playing here for 29 years now, and it has... it was the ultimate to be able to stay in the crow's nest and to watch Byron and Sam and Gene tee off on the first hole. And it's been a part of my life to have won here as my first major as a pro, hugging my dad, as you saw, and then full circle in 19 to hug my son. It has meant a lot to my family. It's meant a lot to me, and I always want to keep playing in this. And today we got a chance to play with Fred, and Fred's been here, a very long time. And we're joking that, he's the oldest person ever to make a cut. And I think he can do it again this year. So it's great. I mean, that's the neat thing about this golf course. And this is the only major we play on the same site, the same venue, each and every year. And we get to tell stories and catch up with friends. And for me, get a chance to catch up with idols and the people that I've looked up to my entire life.
Zach Klein, please.
Hey, Tiger, what would a record 24 straight cuts mean to you at this event, considering all the major accomplishments you've had in your career?
Yeah, I think it's consistency, it's longevity, and it's a understanding of how to play this golf course. That's one of the reasons why you see players that are in their 50s and 60s make cuts here, or it's players in their late 40s have runs at winning the event. It's just not an understanding of how to play it. You know, you still have to go out and execute it, but there's a lot of knowledge that goes into understanding how to play it. And granted, every tee box has been changed since the first time I played. Every green has been changed. But the overall configuration of how they roll and how they move and the angles you take, that hasn't changed. That's the neat thing about this. I can still go into the mental Rolodex and bring out a few putts from the 90s that still move generally in that direction, and the effect that Race Creek has on certain shots and putts, and it means a lot.
Jeff Shackelford.
Tiger, two things. What have you seen of the golf course and some of the changes since last year? And is there any particular lie with the severity of some of the tilt to the ground here, either uphill or downhill, that's tricky for you with your ankle?
Let's see. Two's been lengthened a little bit. I think it's 313 or 311 from the plate to the bunker. Four's been resurfaced. It's some of the putts, they've widened the top right of it. The bottom, so the back left is a little bit steeper. Some of the putts from the bottom move a little bit differently. And six is a little bit different too, with the addition of a little bit more room on the top right and the elevation of the back of the green. So that little chip shot we had is a little bit different now over the back part of the green. And because there's more room on that shelf, it doesn't feel like that you're crowded with two people on top of that shelf. There's a little bit more room now. As far as my physicality on certain shots, every shot that's not on the tee box is a challenge. So, once we start the hole, it's a bit of a challenge.
Doug Ferguson?
You said last year your hope or your ambition was to try and play once a month. Realize you have some limitations. I'm just curious, what specifically determines whether you play? What kept you from, since playing from Riv?
Well, I wasn't ready to play. My body wasn't ready. My game wasn't ready. And I thought that, when I was at Hero, once a month would be a really nice rhythm. Hasn't worked out that way. But now we have major championships every month, from here through July. So now the once a month hopefully kicks in.
Bob Herrig.
Tiger, just want to follow up on that. Was there any physical issues that kept you from preparing the way you would have wanted to in the past, a month ago to play in Florida? And where are you in that regard right now?
The body's just, the things that just flare up. And as the training that we have to do at home, it changes from a day-to-day basis. Some days I just feel really good, and other days not so much.
Next would be Mr. Jacques Patterson.
Tiger, with everything that you go through in your career right now, what makes you get up and go through all the preparation and all the, the things you have to go through to get ready to play top-level major golf?
I love golf. I do. I've always loved it. I played other sports growing up, but I just have always loved this sport. And I love to compete and be able to have the love I have for the game and the love for competition be intertwined. I think that's one of the reasons why I've had a successful career. I just love doing the work. I love logging the time in, and I love preparing. I love competing, and I love that feeling when everything's on fire with a chance to win, and you either do or you don't.
Jimmy Roberts.
Hi, Tiger. You talked a bunch about your local knowledge, and it's obviously considerable after all these years. Is there any way to quantify how many strokes around that might be worth to you on an average round?
I don't know if it's quantifiable, but I can tell you that understanding where to miss it is. I mean, granted, you're going to get some weird wind pop up and hit spots, but understanding of
where to miss it, how to miss it, and the shot shape to put it there. I don't know what the exact number would be, but it is helpful. And that's one of the reasons why it's always helpful to play with players that have had success here and players that have, you know, played the test of time, especially the past champions.
Kevin?
Right here. Sorry. Oh, sorry. Down here. Tiger.
Yep.
I think last year you talked a little bit about bringing your son here and sharing memories and stuff with him. How often do you bring him here to play, and how often does he ask to come?
We haven't played in a couple of years now. I came up here last weekend. He wanted to be at home, so I came up here and came up here, got a chance to play with the chairman and Rob and JT, and we had just an absolute blast. You know, I would like to obviously play a little bit more up here with him, and just share the experiences, you know, especially now that he's got a little bit longer. So he hits it past me. So I think that the days of playing for the members' tees are over. He's got to come back there with us.
Don Riddell.
Tiger, when you think of everywhere you've been, everything you've achieved, and the life you've had, what does the game of golf mean to you?
Well, it's been my life. You know, I started playing at 9 months, so I've done it pretty much my entire life, and played my first tournament when I was 5, and have been playing tournament golf and playing golf around the world, not just here in the United States, but around the world. It's allowed me to see places that I don't think that I'd ever have gotten a chance to see. People that I've got a chance to meet all around the world. The generational connectivity with the sport, right? And so, as I said, with, you know, watching Sam and Gene and Byron tee off to, you know, 2 years later, to watch them drinking my milkshakes, to play practice round with Fred and Raymond and Seve, you know, over the years. I mean, those are... And Jack and Arnold, you know, those are memories that I'll have for a lifetime, and it's all because of the sport.
Anne?
Hi, Tiger. Can you talk about what it means to you to mentor younger players? We know what it means to them, but how about any kind of joy that you might get doing that?
I love watching them succeed. You know, that's part of the game, is we pass on the knowledge. We don't keep it. All the players that have come before me, I didn't really discover anything new. Is the fact that they were able to share a lot of that with me, and then, you know, that's what we do. We pass on the knowledge to the next generation, and especially here, you know, this is one of the events that we get a chance to do that. Just because we're playing on the same venue, you know, each and every year, we're able to pass that on. And I think the Masters does an incredible job of bringing together the past and the future of the game of golf.
Mr. Murray?
Tiger, yep. What's your current position regarding the Ryder Cup captaincy?
Sorry, say that again.
Your current position regarding the Ryder Cup captaincy at Bethpage?
Okay.
What is it?
We're still talking about it.
Is it linked to how much you're going to play golf?
It's something that Seth and I are going to sit back and talk about it after this event. I said I'm going to be busy for a couple weeks, so let me focus on getting through this week and hopefully getting another jacket, and then we can sit back and talk about it next week.
Mary Kate?
Hey, Tiger. Just curious, over here. Up here.
Normal.
Over here. To the right.
Right. Yes, got it. Sorry.
No, you're good. Can you describe the feeling you get when you return to this property and get to put on your green jacket?
It's special to come down Magnolia Lane. The first time I got a chance to see it, I came in the middle of the night. We played a Stanford Georgia Tech event. So I came in the middle of the night, and I didn't get a chance to see Magnolia Lane my first time, right? So got a chance to stay in the Crow's Nest, and the next day got a chance to see the golf course and, you know, what this amazing property is, and the just the fact that I'm able to put on a green jacket for the rest of my life is just absolutely amazing. And I'm just an honorary member, but I love it.
J.R. Berry?
Tiger, want to talk about Vern Lundquist. He is retiring from the Masters after this year, his iconic call on 16 years ago. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you hear a lot about it. Could you talk about that for a moment and what Vern has meant to Augusta National?
Yeah, I've heard that call a couple times. yeah, that. I mean, he has just an amazing ability to bring in the audience and describe a situation and just be able to narrate it in a way that is poetic, but it's also he describes it with emotionality, and he just draws the audience in, and it's amazing. What is, I think his 40th year, maybe, I think it is now 40th year, to be able to call the Masters. I mean, that's what I grew up watching. I grew up listening to Vern, and he made a nice call there at 16. And it's one that I've been lucky enough that, you know, I will have that memory with Vern for the rest of my life.
Stephen Watson.
As someone who knows what it's like to win a career Grand Slam or slams, as Rory McIlroy tries to achieve that feat again this year, can you explain how difficult it is to win a slam, and do you think he will do it at some stage?
No question he'll do it at some point. Rory's too talented, too good, and he's going to be playing this event for a very long time, and he'll get it done. It's just a matter of when. But yes, I think that Rory will be a great Masters champion one day, and it could be this week. You know, you never know. I just think that. Just again, the talent that he has, the way he plays the game, it and the way the golf course fits his eye, it's just a matter of time.
Next is Mr. Vishwanathan.
To you. Tiger, you keep talking. We all know that your body's taken a lot. Is there anything about the ankle which is like still that is unknown to us? I'm sure there's a lot unknown, but something that you trying to repair to make sure that you continue to play the game that you love and given so much to?
Well, the ankle doesn't hurt anymore. It's fused. It's not going anywhere. So that's fine. It's other parts of my body that are now have to take the brunt of it. So, once you put the rods in there, it's good to go. But the back, the knee, then other parts of the body have to take the load of it, and just the endurance capability of walking a long time and being on my feet for a long time.
Scott Michaud.
Now, you've talked a lot about some memories already today, mm-hmm. but what do you feel like you're capable of doing this week? What do you believe that you can do this week?
If everything comes together, I think I can get one more. Want me to describe that any more than that, or we're good?
Barry?
Tiger, you mentioned knowing all the shots here, but that means you also know the difficulty of the walk. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's the most difficult walk there is on tour, and what is the impact on your body of 4 days of that, potentially?
It's certainly one of the more hillier walks that we have on tour. You just don't realize it, and where the clubhouse is perched to the bottom of 12 green, we're playing on a hillside, and we're just meandering back and forth across that hillside. So it is a long walk. I think I've done just over 6.5 miles here, I think that it's more than anything, it's the shaping of shots. These are things that I can't simulate in Florida. We're pretty flat. So I try the best I can on certain hillsides back at home to kind of hit shots. But when you just got to come out here and do it. And then on top of that, playing on bent and the movement of these greens, That is something that, because I haven't played a whole lot on tour, I don't really get a chance to see, you know, that very often. I'm home in Bermuda all the time, and so that's another factor into this week.
Mark Canizaro.
Hey, Tiger.
Hey, Mark.
I'm just curious. You've spoken about obviously your reverence for Augusta National and whatnot here, and Jack back in the day would always talk about he would resist to be a ceremonial golfer, and I just wonder for yourself, as these physical stuff has mounted and the challenges have come, where are you in that thought of you know, how where your kind of golfing competition mortality is, if you will, for this place, and have you thought about being one of those starters down the line on the no. Thursday morning and that kind of thing?
No.
Maybe not that far,
no,
but just
I have
as,
not,
you know.
I have not thought about being a starter here, no.
But, I mean, in a more immediate sense in terms of playing when you maybe don't think that all things can come together and you can win as you do right now.
Well, Mark, I still think they can. So I don't know when that day is, when that day comes, but I still think that I can. I haven't got to that point where I don't think I can't.
Alan, next, sir.
Hey, Tiger. Curious, under ideal tournament conditions, do you think a 59 is attainable on this golf course?
If we played the old yardage and the old tee boxes, I would say yes. Not at 7,600. And the ability for this golf course to get longer than it had than it plays. I mean, when I first played here, the fairways were more cut down grain. Now they're into the grain. The overseed has gotten thicker. The golf course just plays stickier in a sense. I know they've sand capped all the fairways, but the rollouts is not what it used to be. So you just can't sneak down there. And when I was telling, I mean, JT's heard this a bunch of times and we're talking about it. And I was talking to Mr. Chairman when we were playing. When I played here in 95, my clubs here, it was raining. I had a 60-degree sandwich in a one. I had 8-iron in the two. I drove in a crosswalk on five. I had 5-iron in the eight. I grew up in a crosswalk on 9. I grew up in a crosswalk on 17. And so there was a lot of 6-degree sandwiches. I had a pitching wedge in a 15. That doesn't exist now. So I don't think that's a reality anymore, just the fact that we're so far back.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have time for two more questions, and I want to address the gentleman in the back row at the end. I can't quite see. Yes, sir, in the gray. Or the Navy. There was two hands that were right up. Yes, sir.
I'll go. Tiger, can I just ask again about your physicality, the pain you're under? Is it a constant when you're out there on the course? Is it worse here? And are you playing with painkillers?
I hurt every day.
Yeah.
So, yes. I ache every day. And I prefer it warm and humid and hot. And I know we're getting some thunderstorms, so at least it'll be hot. It won't be like last year.
Last question, please, Michael.
Thank you, Rob. Tiger, right here, please. You know, the USGA and the RNA are trying to make golf simpler. I'm wondering if you'd be interested in joining a growing movement to make the OB rule just stroke, not stroke and distance. Just drop it where it went out.
Say that again? I don't understand.
Okay.
Question.
You're trying to make golf simpler.
Okay.
And how about a rule change by which, for going OB, you can just drop it where it went out instead of having to reload? Would you be in favor of such a rule change?
Well, I think there's a number of rule changes that would have to come before that one. That would speed up the game. That would make it better.
What's your favorite thing?
I don't know, but I think there's a number of items that are on the list before that one. You got it.
Oh, Tiger, thank you so very much. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. And Tiger, we wish you obviously the very best of luck this year.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Good to see you.
Hey, everybody. Frank Bassett here. You want to eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals? Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Important to me. 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, you need to discover more than 60 add-ons every week. It's fabulous, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals. I want you to listen to this and listen to it closely. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring, which is being outside and playing some golf, don't you think? Maybe go to the Masters, whatever. Looking for gourmet meals? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, hello, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, one of my favorites, and asparagus. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Tailored to your schedule, okay? Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor's your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. Key point. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So, let's do this. And listen carefully now. You need to do this. I want you to head to factormeals.com/PGA50. That's PGA50. And use code PGA50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's 50 off plus 20 the next month? Really? That's code PGA50 at factormeals.com/PGA50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. I'm telling you, I use Factor. I love Factor. You need to get Factor Meals. So there you have it. You've heard from some of the best, and we're going to see what they can do this week. We still have a day left. The par three is tomorrow. Get ready. That's going to be fun. Of course, Thursday, again, as I said at the top of the show, is still looking a little iffy as far as the weather's concerned. But we'll keep you informed with that, and I'm sure you'll be watching the Weather Channel and everything else just to make sure. But it's still going to be a blast. This is Augusta. This is the Masters. This is Azalea House, and we are having a blast. I really want to go ahead and thank some of the great people that are sponsoring the show this week, including NetSuite, which is the number one cloud financial system bringing accounting, financial management, and inventory and HR into one platform and one source of truth. One source of truth, Frank, for heaven's sakes. We love NetSuite. Factor. We're sponsored by Factor. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. And don't forget Roll Body Program, the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off with Roll. That's R-O. Thanks, everybody. Special thanks to those sponsors. And we will see you tomorrow live from Augusta at Azalea House for the Masters.